All right, guys, you know that this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Hepias. Hepias is your number one place to go for premium CBD products at a fraction of the cost. This is perfect for any first-time user and for the veteran user. There's no THC. It's locally sourced and third-party tested, so you don't have to worry about paying for any fancy celebrities or a drug test. These guys have something for everybody, and I personally enjoy their products. In fact, my favorite one's the Sleep Aid, so go check them out, hepiusmed.com. HEPIUSMED.com. Right in time for the holiday seasons. Again, go check them out, happiestmed.com, and have fun. Okay, guys, it's time for me to introduce my next guest. And this week on the podcast, I had Mason War from COS Accounting. But before I get into that, I just wanted to thank you guys for joining my group. If you're not in my Facebook group, The Thinking Project on Facebook, please join it. Also follow me on Instagram at Dalton K. Jensen. That's just where we're rolling. Like, this podcast is getting huge, and I love you guys, and I thank you for your support. So without further ado, let me introduce Mason. He started COS Accounting to help business owners manage their back-end accounting. It was a lot of fun for me to talk with him. I got my bachelor's degree in accounting, so we had a really fun and interesting conversation, because sometimes conversations with accounting firms can get boring, but this one was not even kind of. And that's my, by the way, that's my favorite phrase, not even kind of. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode with Mason War and enjoy hearing his story of building this business and landing these clients and really selling, mixing the accounting and the sales world, which is a huge, unique gift. So please, without further ado, Mason War. Welcome, everybody. This is Dalton Jensen, and you're tuning into The Thinking Project. Okay, cool, man. All right, well, shoot, man. Let's roll, man. We're rolling. We're good, dude.
Let's do it.
No worries.
Okay, so, sounds good.
So your company is COS Accounting.
Correct. Yeah.
And you were telling me a little bit about that, but tell me how COS Accounting got started and what you guys are doing.
Yeah. So kind of a different story. In fact, if you had told me even just like a couple of years ago that I would be running an accounting firm, I would have said, why? Because I'm non-accountant.
Okay.
And so after college, I went and worked at Adobe in Lehi for about 4 years. And it was great until it wasn't that great for me. I just felt like there wasn't as much career growth as I wanted. I was a little too ambitious and wanted something more. And so started looking at other options, like getting an MBA and changing industries altogether, or, you know, what I was doing. I was doing HR at the time, and it was fine. But then in college, I'd done door-to-door sales. And so I worked for a company called Moxie. And a bunch of my buddies went from Moxie to another pest control company and worked for Altera. And then, so I was planning on leaving Adobe. I got a job offer for a commercial company doing real estate in Salt Lake. And oh, wow. So I was like, great. Yeah. So kind of interesting. But so I was like, okay, great. I'll go and do commercial real estate. But in order to do that, you have to have clients and listings. And usually it takes about a year with no pay for that. So I called my old buddy from door-to-door sales and was like, hey, can I come and knock for you for like just a couple months? This is 2013. And he's like, yeah, sure. No problem. So I went and knocked for a couple months. And in those couple months, I made more doing door-to-door sales than I would have the entire year at Adobe. So I'm like, okay, yeah, so this is actually pretty good. And then I actually decided to stay with door-to-door sales for a long time. So I'll get to how the accounting firm started. But yeah, I did that from 2013 until about 2018 or so into 2019. In 2019, I was starting to make some changes. I was flipping quite a few homes and I started getting to the real estate game. And my buddy, who is an accountant, he ran a company here in Provo with his brother. And he and his brother split. And he said, hey, my brother's actually wanting us to go out and do some trips to all these door-to-door salesmen and pick up accounting clients. And I was like, great. yeah, I'll go out. And I had a really good network. And so I went all over the country. My family and I went from, you know, California all the way up to Boston. And we hit, wow. I mean, and we acquired about 1,000 clients. And so this was like 2019, this was May through August or so. So we went all and hit all those summer sales offices and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, in August, his brother and he got into a disagreement about how our agreement was going and what it was going to turn into. And we had given them about 450 clients or so. And his brother said, "Hey, I'm actually paying you on 3 years, not over 1 year." And we were under the impression that it was a 1 year deal that he was going to pay us on. We're like, 3 years is too long. We can't do that. And so we said, no, we need to either be paid on what we were under the impression the agreement was, or let us start our own firm. Because we still had like 600 yeah. clients that wouldn't have had an accounting firm to go to. And so he's like, go ahead, start your own firm. And so we started our own firm and we started day one with 600 clients. And this was August 16th of 2019.
Wow.
And from then to now we have over 2,000 clients and we're just, I mean, every day we're just getting more and more clients. So it's been a wild ride and we have like 42 employees right now. So,
So
we kind of went through a roundabout way of becoming, I can't imagine there's a faster growing accounting firm in the nation right now.
Yeah. I would imagine yeah. not. Yeah. Well, especially since like, so my background is a lot of sales, but I got my bachelor's degree in accounting.
Oh, gotcha. So, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and I've done like taxes forever, small businesses. I did them with my mom forever. And what's funny is like, I remember one time, just my personal experience with like this, this unique kind of like you're a sales guy and you're an accountant. Cause normally that doesn't happen. But I remember I had an experience when I was interviewing for a job at a company, and they had quite a few, like big four accountants working there, like these big guys. And I was like, it was pretty intimidating. And they looked at it was intimidating because like, I was like, oh dude, these guys are going to look at my resume and think that this bachelor's in accounting is a lie. Like they're going to,
I know. Yeah.
And it was funny. Like I was getting interviewed and one of the first questions was like, do you actually have your bachelor's in accounting? And I was like, yes.
No way.
Like you can verify it. And they're like, oh, we will.
And
I was like, all right.
They were going to research you.
But it was funny because, and normally like an accounting firm would do that or like these guys would do that. But what was funny was I was the first pick because I had the sales experience over like some of these guys who had a couple of years of accounting. And I just always thought it was interesting when those two mix, like sales and accounting. Do you ever get any feedback like that?
Yeah, no, I think, again, a lot of people that I knew for those, you know, last 7 years, so, you know, I was, my goal every year was to become top 1% within my sales company. And so I was doing everything I could to, you know, be a leader and a performer there. And then, you know, some people hadn't heard that I'd left door to door and that I was running an accounting firm. And they're like, why in the world would you leave, you know, a sales background to go into accounting? And it just worked.
Because it's lucrative.
I did the same thing. Yeah.
I did the same thing for my mom's tax firm. Yeah. I was like, you know what? Yeah. My mom and I are going to start a small tax firm. I know enough to sell the taxes.
Totally.
She's had like 20 years experience with taxes. And I was like, so I'm going to go sell it and you're going to do it. And we blew up. It was insane how fast. It's crazy to me how many accounting firms don't have like a sales team. Like they have a marketing team and I understand that they're kind of similar, but unless you integrate them, it doesn't work like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I think my partner and I work because he's focusing so much on the accounting side and I'm focusing on the strategy and growth. And so like I've hired a marketer and we're marketing like crazy right now. And we're doing things that I think most smaller scale accounting firms won't do. And it's mainly because they're content, right? Most of these companies, they get 500 to 1,000 clients and they just live off that for 20, 30 years.
Yeah,
and that's never
dangerous.
Been our goal. Yeah, it is. The good news about tax and accounting is that taxes recession proof. no matter what happens, people still have to do their taxes. So that, yeah. that doesn't change. And TurboTax and H&R Block and some of these others, they just don't provide the handholding that especially small business owners need.
Yeah,
and for the prices right. that are reasonable, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's, yep. that's where we found a little niche there.
Well, yeah. H&R Blocks, TurboTax, Liberty Tax, these guys just, well, and like H&R Block, they just throw them, most of these guys don't have degrees in accounting.
No, right? Exactly.
They just throw them through a 6-week course and then let them loose. And then they charge copious amounts of money for.
Oh yeah.
Something
they charge that, 2 to 3 times what we're charging.
Well, and yeah, so, they charge per page, right? Or at least used to. Yeah. Do they charge per page?
I don't know. I don't.
But they do. They used to. Like when, because my mom ran an H&R Block like franchise.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. They used to charge like they used to tell her you got to charge per page, which I thought was erroneous.
Yeah, that's yeah. In terms of like coming from a sales background, you're like, no, we got to have a set rate. It doesn't allow you to scale that way. So
right. Totally. But that's interesting, man. Yeah, why? Yeah. You know, you mentioned that a lot of like accounting firms don't do that. Well, like medium sized accounting firms.
Yeah.
That they kind of live off of these clients, like, and you kind of, when you think of CPA, you think of kind of like an older gentleman or an older crew in there. Who just like back in the day, accounting wasn't sales. And now accounting's turned into more of consulting, which is what sales is.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you think they haven't switched?
I don't know. I think that's what makes us unique is that like my partner, he's consulting and coaching like 400 small business owners right now. And that's what he does on a regular basis. He just talks them through, okay, here's the first thing you need to know. And it's kind of like a CFO service that he provides to these small businesses where he can look at their numbers and tell them, hey, this is how you can save on taxes. Here's your assets. Here's your liabilities. Here's where you should put some money into growth. Here's what you should do in terms of, you know, saving on taxes or putting money into a retirement plan or, you know, whatever these things are.
Yeah,
I think the financial literacy throughout the nation is pretty terrible. People aren't taught the basics. I mean, if some people graduate college still not knowing how to write a personal check to someone.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a problem. Right. So, and I always see the memes I'm so grateful for learning how to do parallelograms during parallelogram season.
Yeah.
It just makes me laugh because it's true. I saw something the other day where it's like, you know, you just don't get the education that you need when it comes to just doing basic taxes or starting a business or anything. Right.
Yeah. It's amazing. I'm in the same boat as you where, you know, one of my things is like, I like to help small businesses with the back office. So like, outsource CFO services, but then like, marketing, implementation, and management, and a few of these things.
Oh yeah,
and where I found like I could sell was this idea that like as a business owner, you just want to focus on your passion, and sometimes that's all they do. Right, they just jump right into their passion, and I'm like, which is fine, but you got to have somebody running the back end because a lot of these solopreneurs, entrepreneurs with 2 or 3. Well, and a lot of people don't realize that either. Like most small businesses are solopreneurs or businesses with 2 to 7 employees, like if they have employees at all, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
and then you get into like the medium sized stuff that I'm sure you guys work with.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that's where I come in because that's when I start meeting with people and start talking about growth and strategy and setting up a culture that, that people want to stay at. And, we start, you know, looking at their goals in terms of, do you have an exit plan? Do you want to be bought at some point? Are you just looking to have somebody buy your clients or do you want someone to buy your equipment or, you know, your company in general? And, and so we start looking at some of those things that most people don't even really consider because all they can think about is the day to day, either the product or the process rather than you know, the big picture.
Yeah. Well, and there's definitely like, I like that you mentioned that because I think of like it as progression, right? Like I'm the guy So I like that you brought that up, because I think that a lot of people don't realize that there's a few parts to it, right? There's getting your business started, like in the startup phase where you're the 0 to 5 years. And then I'm sure people after that, like, what kind of clients do you do? Like while we're talking, I'm envisioning your clientele as like, they're a little more seasoned. They're in that 5 to maybe 10 year, and they're looking at exit plans, or maybe they're looking at sustainability, right? Versus maybe like a 0 to 5 or 0 to 6.
Yeah, I mean, we have both. We have a lot of very young entrepreneurs, a lot of salesmen who are, you know, single member LLCs, but have this dream in their mind of what they want to accomplish. They want to start a business. And so the cool thing is that we get to have a real impact on those young entrepreneurs. So okay, you got to set money aside. You got to start creating a relationship with the bank so that when you go to start your company, you have a line of credit or a loan or something available for funding. Stop thinking it in terms of linear growth where you're doing all the work yourself and create it into something systemic, right? You want a system to be able to grow. Otherwise, you'll never scale if you can't replace yourself. And so we start focusing on things like that. And then there's obviously the older businesses. Like, we take care of quite a few, you know, salon older owners and what other industries. Solar's kind of a big one. We have quite a few solar companies that we do stuff for.
That's nuts, man.
Yeah.
So the solar world is going nuts.
Oh, it's crazy right now. Yeah. So that's why I texted or messaged you yesterday, because I'm like, we have a meeting with Legacy Power, which is like growing so fast. So we're going to do a big presentation for them at like 11:30 today. So,
well, good luck, man. Good for you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, yeah. I those guys are booming, and those guys are the clients though that you look at. They just want to sell solar, man. They're just I don't give they almost get into trouble because I tell people, like, in my experience with small businesses, and maybe you can give me your thoughts on this too, but I tell people, like, the number one killer of startups is almost scaling too quickly.
Yeah.
Like, and I've seen some of these solar guys just get tons of clients, and then they're like, I don't know what to do with it. And that can be almost as bad as no client.
Totally. Yeah. I think growth has real problems. And so if you are solely focused on one specific thing and not looking at the rest of the outcome of your business and what you want that to accomplish, you're never going to get there, because you're only thinking about, like, for example, I just want to sell as many accounts as possible, but your operations are a disaster. And that's where there has to be some sort of balance. You have to have somebody that can come in, either a partner or, you know, some sort of consultant that can take a look at your business from an outside perspective and say, okay, you're growing so fast, you're going to run yourself out of business.
Yeah. And I tell people that's like a number one. If it's not number one, it's top five startup killers, dude.
Totally.
I think you're right. What does your company mainly focus on?
Yeah. So right now, we're trying to get word out right now. And that's how I originally contacted you. I saw that you had messaged somebody about working with women in business. And, I don't really care about men, women. It doesn't really matter to me. Business is business, right?
I think
everybody should have the opportunity to be successful in whatever they want.
Yeah.
One of the big things we're trying to get out is that with the COVID relief, there were a couple things that happened. One was called the PPP, right? And it's a Paycheck Protection Program. The banks pushed this hard. And there was a reason why, because they got overfunded. So if they pushed a loan through for $1 million, the bank got $50,000 for that. So they got an extra 5% on every loan that was done through a bank through PPP. And so the banks are highly incentivized to push that.
Yeah.
There was another one called the EIDL or the EIDL or whatever.
I heard about that.
And this one, you could go through the SBA and you could get $1,000 advance, which was forgivable. It's basically for every employee that you had. And if you were an S corporation or a sole proprietor, you could do that just for yourself for $1,000. And it was kind of honestly, and then there was a loan attached to it that you could get. And it was a luck of the draw.
I saw
$30,000 a year get $115,000 in a loan. And they're like, what do I do with this? So we're trying to consult them on how they can use that money for their business or to grow their net worth or, you know, whatever it is.
And then
there was a third one that most people weren't aware of that came out with the CARES Act. And this one is called the Employee Retention Credit.
Oh.
Or the ERC. And so most people have no idea that this is a credit. And if you know taxes, a credit is the best of the best because you don't have to track it and it's not a loan. So you don't have to pay it back. The IRS was basically saying in 2020, let's say Dalton, we use you as an example. Let's say you pay yourself as, are you an S corporation?
No, I'm an LLC, single member LLC.
Okay. So let's say you were an LLC, but then we decided to tax it as an S corporation. So basically you're saying my business has an employee and that employee is me and I'm going to pay myself a wage and that wage is going to be, you know, $20,000, $50,000. Doesn't really matter. Whatever that number is that you pay yourself, you're just saying I'm paying my employee this amount. And if you made $10,000 or more, the IRS is saying we're going to send you a check for COVID relief for up to $5,000 minus the payroll tax. So the payroll tax is 15.3%. So $10,000 or more, $10,000, you're going to pay $1,530 in payroll tax. And they're going to send you a check for $3,500, $3,470, right? So they just send you a check as COVID relief. And the only there are only two qualifiers for this. One was, did you have a 50% decrease in revenue over a quarter? And the other one was, if there were government or partial or full closures or shutdowns in your business.
So if
you were affected negatively by COVID, you could get this tax credit for half of your wages for the entire year for 2020.
Yeah.
So anybody who's 1099, if they are if they're an LLC or an S corporation, if they had less than 100 employees, then they could qualify for this. Wow. So let's say if you had 50 employees, right? And if we did some numbers just real quick.
Yeah.
So if you had 50 employees that all made $10,000 or more, you would get a check from the IRS for your business for you'd get $173,500 in tax credits if you did not get the PPP. So we've talked to a lot of lending institutions where hundreds of thousands of businesses applied and a small number of businesses actually got the PPP. So there's tons, especially in the restaurant industry, of businesses never got the PPP because for some reason they didn't qualify. The Los Angeles Lakers got the PPP, but the, you know, these mom and pop, you know, restaurants that are going out of business, can't get the PPP.
Yeah. That's so they're insanity.
And most people don't know about this because nobody's pushing it. So we're like the only company that I know of that's like, guys, there's this credit, there's free money. We want to help you. And nobody knows. No, like still, there's accountants we're talking to. They're like, what the heck is this ERC? And we're like,
No. I've heard of that. Yeah. Even before we talked, I've heard of the ERC because we do like 1120S and 1065 returns for these guys. Right. So you kind of have, that's so weird that some people wouldn't know that.
Totally.
It's kind of scary. So, like if your accountant didn't know that, you should find a new accountant.
I know, right? Or at least, and there are other accountants who are saying, no, you can't do it. And I'm what are you talking about? Why can't you do it?
Yeah, why not?
So, we've talked to members of the IRS. We've talked to our lawyers have put together this massive thing on how it's available. So anyway.
I think that that's a really good thing for a lot of people because there's so many other ways that you can get help right now. And you just got to know, people, right? You just got to send people your way. So how do you help people take advantage of this? Do you actually file returns?
Okay. We're typically doing them in their quarterlies. Most people, like, let's say you are our client, we would say, okay, first thing we need to do is, unless you have employees, then we need to restructure you as an S corporation, because you have to pay yourself as an employee of your business to qualify for the ERC.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine, right? All we do is fill out an F-2553 form, and then we submit it to the IRS, and then all of a sudden your LLC is now taxed as an S corporation. Very easy to do. Right. And then we use revenue code 2013-30 to backdate it if we need to. So that way it shows that you were an S corp prior.
So, I knew that you could backdate the S corps if you had to. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people are like, wait, I'm not an S corporation. No problem. We can work with you. Here's what we need to do. We need to structure your LLC. So you're an employee of your business, and then you can qualify. If you're a single member LLC, you can now qualify for the ERC.
Yeah.
So we go through it. What we do is we make sure you qualify, that you were affected by government shutdowns or that you had a decrease in revenue of 50% or more. And then we say, okay, well, we need some basic information on your business. We need to file the quarterly, or we need to amend a quarterly going back to last year. And then at first the IRS said 2 to 3 weeks, and then they said 4 to 6 weeks. And then and now it's like, it's 16 weeks. I have a call that I recorded with the IRS where I call on this tax credit to see where one of our clients was in the process.
Yeah.
And the lady's like, the check is being held. And I'm like, okay, can you tell me why? I have no information as to why.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, dude, dealing with the IRS is terrible.
She's like, it's with the department. And I'm like, what department? Oh, it's just with the department that does the 7200 forms. Well, how do I contact them? I have no contact information. Okay, can you release the check? No, I don't have the authority to. Okay.
Yeah, dude.
Why is it? And she's like, the check was released and then it was canceled. And I'm like, do you have any information why? They thought it was identity theft. Why? He's had an S corporation for 5 years.
Forever.
I'm like, dude. What are you guys doing?
Don't even get me started on the IRS, dude. First of all, like, if it's bad enough that somebody who works at H&R Block doesn't have to have an accounting degree, you would hope that somebody at the IRS would, and they don't.
And it's so funny because I think in our minds we have this idea that the IRS are like these brilliant accountants who can, audit everything.
Not even kind of.
They are maybe out of college, right?
I know people who got pulled out of high school to put on it.
No, wait, $12 an hour, and they have no idea what the tax code is.
So they don't have any clue.
They have no idea. Some sort of audit request on one of our clients. So a lot of it's like, just this one line where they're like, no, you can't claim that. My partner sends them the tax code saying, yes, we can. And here's why. And
I've done it.
We never hear back about it. Yeah. We never hear back.
Well, I've done it. I've had it both ways where like I'll have a client and I'll be like, no, here's the tax code. This is what we did. Oh, this is our math. And then they're like, and then I've had it where they like never send anything back to me or where they go, well, just when I plug it into my calculator, like it doesn't work like that. So we can't change it. And I'm like, what calculator are you using, man?
Yeah.
I was like,
You're
like, I got it, dude. Right. Oh my goodness. The IRS is crazy. The IRS is ridiculous. That's the only time I tell people, because like I'm not a CPA or anything, but that's when I tell people that's why you would want a CPA or like an EA or an attorney or something like that, because the IRS is, they're the Gestapo, bro. They'll just, the buck stops there. And if they don't like it for some reason, you have to pull out all the guns.
The double standard, right?
These
hard, strict deadlines, but we don't. So for thee, but not for me, right?
Yeah.
And that perspective in government in general really frustrates me, coming from someone who's, coming from a more conservative background doesn't believe that high taxation is legal. So I'm like, let's save these people as much money as possible. We want to keep the money in their pockets.
And here's the crazy thing about it. There's nothing illegal or unethical about that. Like the guy who wrote the tax code said, it is every citizen's responsibility to pay as least amount of taxes they can.
Yeah. Well, and Congress, if Congress and Senate don't the tax loopholes that they've created,
they
need to change them.
They wrote
But they're
them.
Using yep. the, they're using the same. I mean, Joe Biden is an S corporation.
Yeah.
He saves on taxes the same way we teach our clients to.
Oh, so if he's absolutely.
Giving, and Trump is set up the same way. So if he's giving Trump a hard time, well, he needs to change his own tax structure.
Well, okay. Just because you brought it up, I just think this one thing is funny. This one thing is funny. So I hear a lot of like politicians, like they're like, so-and-so didn't pay any taxes. So-and-so didn't pay any income taxes. And I'm well, and these are mostly career politicians. And I'm like, you guys wrote the code, man.
I know.
You guys wrote it. I'm like, and the crazy thing is the IRS tax code is however many pages long, and 95% of it is how they define income. And yeah. I'm like,
and
that's
they contradict
not my fault.
Themselves constantly.
Yeah. I was like, that's not my fault.
Yeah.
I'm just doing what I'm told.
You don't
man.
Like it, change it, right?
That's what I said.
And then we'll,
I was like,
we'll
you
get
guys rather
do it. Teach us how to do it, and then we'll go around that way.
That's so, what I said, man. Yeah. And I feel like that's a pretty safe thing to say, because I normally when I meet people on either side of the fence, when they're taught it that way, I'm like, they wrote it, dude. We're just doing there's no way I can get around this. You know, the IRS,
oh, yeah.
There's no way. So we just play within the rules that we're given. It's
absolutely that's funny,
dude. Yeah, it's great. So tell me, you know, I like the story, right?
Yeah.
I'm a story guy, and one of my favorite sayings is facts tell and stories sell. So tell me like the story behind, like, you know, you find this, you know, you find yourself selling for this accounting firm, you end up creating your own firm. Mm-hmm. But like, what was the journey like? You know, you started with 600, right? Clients.
Yeah. So I remember the day that happened, because his brother had sent him a message back, and basically it was like, I'm not scared of you guys. Go ahead, start your own firm. But it ended up being a really hard situation, because they were brothers, right? They were really close. And now they don't even talk.
Dude.
They're not even close, you know?
That's terrible.
And, so there's so much to this story, and I can't share a lot of it, because we're actually in a defamation lawsuit with his brother right now.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I know you can't talk about it.
But
that's
some
insanity.
Very heavy, serious things where a lot of my friends are like, dude, I heard this. And I'm like, yeah, that is the biggest lie and biggest, you know, crock I've ever heard.
Yeah. I bet that's hard starting your firm with that. Oh
yeah.
In play, right? Or at least maybe scaling it. And I'm not saying I'm not saying that in any kind of negative way, because I feel like a lot of people don't get, and this is why I like the story, a lot of people don't get the background of a lot of this stuff, like the fights of these small businesses.
Yeah. So I read something. I was actually reading Tony Hsieh, he wrote Delivering Happiness. He was the Zappos guy. He just died.
Yes. I've heard, yes.
He had a quote in there from Gandhi, and it said, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win. And I'm like, okay, we're right in between then they fight you and then you win. So once we started the firm, the problem was that we had been, basically pitching this idea of this other accounting firm. And then all of a sudden everything changed. And so we contacted all the remaining clients and we said, hey, we are still giving you the option of whoever you want to go with. Feel free to stay with me and Zach, or you could go with the other firm. It doesn't matter, but let us know. If you don't let us know, we're just going to assume you're staying with us. If you let us know that you want to go with this other firm, we don't care. We're fine either way. We were going to get paid either way, so it didn't really matter to us.
Yeah.
And so we're like, great. So we sent out multiple notifications, and like a year and a half later, we're still getting contacted by clients being like, I thought I was with this other firm. And we're like, okay, we've sent you like 100 messages. We've done your taxes with us. How are you still under the impression that you're with this other firm?
Customers are weird, dude.
Yeah. But then it became a legal battle in terms of some of the ways that we separated, who broke what contract, who was there non-compete, was there a non-disclosure, was there all these other things. And so it's basically a legal battle right now, and so hopefully we'll find out soon what happens. Honestly, I we're gonna be fine either way. I just want the whole thing to be over with so that we can move on, because I feel like it just drags you down, you know, thinking about this other stuff that's going on, right?
Yeah, well, I always tell small business owners, like when I'm meeting with them, you can't make new money chasing old money.
Yeah, exactly.
It's tough, dude.
For me, it's a sunk cost. Okay. If we still haven't been paid on those accounts that we sold his brother, which, you know, honestly,
at the end of the day, you just write them off and keep going, because you can't make new money chasing old money.
We spent tens of thousands of dollars, but now we're doing fine. And, you know, we're growing like crazy, and we're looking at other options, and we're getting out of this one specific niche into a greater niche. And it's been good. Honestly,
you just do what you got to do, right? Well, yeah, you just do what you got to do. You know what I mean?
So for us, our goals are bigger than this one little thing. And we feel like what we have to offer is something that's entirely unique. I don't think many people are really passionate about empowering the small business owner. Most companies they see as, or I guess accounting firm, it's like, yeah, they want, you know, they want to have this relationship and they want to build something, but we're actually trying to put money into their pocket, looking for ways that most other firms won't. And I always compare it to the show Suits. Cause you know,
I don't know if you watched Suits.
Yeah.
Oh no, I love Suits, dude. It's my favorite.
And one of my favorite things about it is that they like, they'll be in a conversation and they'll realize that the lawyers will realize that they need to restructure a business entirely or do something. And then the business owner will be like, oh, I need this done. And they're like, I already did it. And that's kind of how we want to be that proactive firm that helps companies get ahead without them having to come to us and be like, hey, I heard about this tax credit. What is it? No, we've already marketed like crazy to make sure that these people can get it.
Well, and you know, what's interesting is I'm really glad that we're connecting on this because I like finding those more, those accounting firms who are innovating, right? Because when I went to accounting school, I mean, that was the whole degree was consulting. Like you can literally, you can get QuickBooks. If you want somebody to do your books, you can pay QuickBooks $80 a month and they will run your books. And they'll do it right. And they'll give you some, a little bit of protection, right? Like if they do something wrong, they'll help you out. But they won't tell you what it means. And they won't tell you what you need to do next. And they won't tell you what's going on. They'll just run it for you. And that's not what accounting is anymore. Accounting is guidance, is consulting, is like, hey, homie, you're projected to make this much money. And if you keep going the way you're going, we're going to lose a lot more than you're going to make. You know what I'm saying?
Totally. Yeah. So we've made tax planning a massive part of our business. And so we always tell our clients, look, we cannot help you to be able to accomplish your financial goals if we have no idea what those goals are. So come with a plan of 5 years. Right. How many rental properties do you want? So that way we can show the amount of income so the banks can actually give you money, because most people are like, I'm just going to write up everything. Well, that doesn't set you up to get money.
Sometimes
leveraging tax and income is something that can help you borrow money that can grow your wealth.
Yeah. So. Well, I tell small business owners, I'm like, the way you tax plan changes, right? Because when you start out and you're a little business, you know, you got some side gig or whatever, it's about expenses. Totally. I'm like, but when you're a real business owner, it's about income. It's not about, you know what I mean? It's not about like these big companies, they don't, or these medium sized companies who are doing good. Like you don't advise people on like what they can write off. You advise people on how they can make money.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what the mindset changes. These people are like, you know, some people are like, well, can I write it off? And I'm like, stop thinking like that. Because it doesn't make it doesn't do you any good to write it off if you can't make the money. Go get the money.
My partner's goal, he's like, I want to create over 1,000 multimillionaires over the next 10 years. Like that's his personal goal. He wants to create these multimillionaires through strategy and planning, just financial coaching on where they can get. And he doesn't have one specific plan because everybody has a different, you know, plan in terms of some people love real estate. Some people love stocks. Some people love Bitcoin. Okay, great. He's in all of them. So he's how can I get you there? What are your goals? And then, I'm going to help you leverage some of these other things that you may not be in love with to be able to get you to some of these other goals that you do love.
For sure, man.
Yeah, man.
And like I said, that's a lot of the things that a lot of reasons I like looking at these other accounting firms is because, I tell people, I'm like, you just got to find somebody who you jive with. And I feel like most people need to start jiving with this idea that it's not about, because I just, as like a tax person, I just get so many questions and I'm just like, what can I write off? What can I write off? And I'm like, dude, it's not about writing stuff off. Like, stop. Yeah. If that comes, literally, I can't write off any more than.
We'll find those as well. Yeah.
Well,
you want more? Well, yeah, we can give you more, but
it's not about writing stuff. Like, you know, 100 grand is still 100 grand. And if, and in fact, I tell people, like, if you write off too much, you get yourself in trouble. Like, not that we'll unethically write stuff off, but like, if you ever try to go into like a loan kind of thing and you wrote too much stuff off and it looks like you made 20 grand, like we missed all those taxes, but now it looks like to a bank, you only made 20 G's, man.
I know. And then now they're going to give you a loan for $2,000.
Yeah. So, and not what you need. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Grow your business like crazy. Yeah.
Right, dude. But you know, it's just how do you, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take too much of your time, but I want to ask you, how do you start changing people's mindset from this idea of like, you know, what can I write off, or I want to spend as little as much, you know what I mean? Just how do you change people's mindset to like millionaire mindset?
Yeah. So honestly, I personally, the way I look at it is you have to figure out what somebody's passion is. Right. So I learned this from a guy named Woody Woodward, and I think he's actually from Davis County area, but, and okay. I think you're there, right?
Davis I've heard County. That. Yeah. I've heard that name before for some reason.
Woody Woodward. And, I learned this that skill so from familiar. Him. Yeah. You should check him out. So what he did was he said, okay, everybody has a different motivation of why they do something. Right. And there's basically five different motivations. And one is, that it's about building and growing something. One, it's about a lifestyle. They want to be able to travel and have these exotic cars. Some people, it's just about like the intellectual side. They just love learning and systems and processes. And other people, it's all about this, like their relationships and, you know, their spirituality and different things. And then another person is like, it kind of what I put like into an influencer, like they want to be a coach, a podcaster. They want to, you know, they want to, focus on those sort of things. And so everybody's driven by something different. So one thing I always try to do is I find out, and I ask this question every time. And it's a great question because people have to stop and think, like, if I were to ask you, Dalton, when you're not podcasting, you're not working, and you're not, you know, in school or, you know, just doing family time because that's, you know, a necessity. What's your thing? What's your passion? Right. And most people have to stop and think and be like, what is my passion? What am I passionate about? And whatever they go towards, if it's lifestyle and they want to travel a lot, or it's, you know, they just want to build an amazing company. And if they weren't working, they would, their passion is still working. That's like mine. Right. And then there's other people that it's like, oh no, I just want to build something, you know, great. I want to build this process or the system or this technology or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then I start tailoring the sale towards them. Well, if you want to be able to have exotic cars, you have to build the income to be able to pay for those, right? You can't have a Ferrari without some, you know, for example, without real estate being other people paying the mortgage and having this equity and cash flow to be able to buy that thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're just paying it out of pocket. Right. And so I think it really depends on the person. So what I do is I say, okay, well, what are you passionate about? What are your goals? And then I say, now here's how I can help you get there. And I think it's the perfect way to sell because I'm selling to them based on their needs, not what I think that their needs should be.
Yeah. I think that's where sales is going anyway. You know what I mean? Like you got to make it like nobody wants to buy or excuse me, nobody wants to be sold, but everybody wants to buy.
Yeah, kind of. Exactly. Totally. Yeah.
You know what I mean? 100%. Yeah. And I think that's great, dude. Well, and I think that like and that's a great way to like, you know, to get people's minds to start shifting because I feel like, you know, if you can't believe in something bigger than yourself, if the idea isn't bigger than yourself, then it's really tough to change the mindset. Like I heard, well, Shaquille O'Neal was in that interview. I can't remember who he's being interviewed by, but he was like, I got some advice from, I think it was like Warren Buffett. And he was like, I invest in companies I only invest in companies that will change people's lives or they'll do. He's like, and Shaquille O'Neal was like, when I started investing that way, I quadrupled my net worth.
It's amazing.
And I'm like, holy cow, dude.
And that's for me where my partner and I feel the same way where we're like, okay, this isn't about money for us. I mean, the money will come, but it's a byproduct of your passion or your level of service or, you know, whatever it is that you're good at. Yeah. And I think that's where most companies fail to see that. They think, oh, I just want to make tons of money. Well, it's not about the money. It's about either the product, the people, or the process, right? Or all three. Yeah. That's really what you want to do. And so, I think there's a bit more there, but anyway.
Dude, I think so. Well, I mean, I think that a lot of people should get involved with that. So how do people find you if they listen to this and they're excited? Where do they go?
Yeah. So COSaccounting.com. I think that's number one. They can find information there about the tax credits. I didn't mention this, but when they did this second act, like just a little while ago, like a month ago, they actually said, now going back, you can actually get PPP and ERC. So people who got the PPP in 2020 can also now get the ERC, and they have no idea that that exists. So we have more information on our website about the ERC.
Cool.
And moving forward, now you can get the PPP and the ERC, but it's not $5,000 per year. It's $7,000 per quarter that you can get a credit for this quarter and next quarter. And so many businesses will get, I mean, you think of these companies in California and in New York and some of these other places that are really shut down. Yeah. These companies are not going to last very long. The PPP only lasts, you know, essentially 2.5 months, but the ERC is another credit that they never have to keep track of or pay back. And it keeps their businesses alive. And we're like, we have to get word out, but nobody else is doing this type of marketing that we are.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's great, dude. That's incredible. Well, here, the last thing before I leave, was there anything that I missed you wanted to touch base on, dude?
Oh, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, the main thing for me is I just want to get word out there that there's funding and help available. And honestly, we're really passionate about getting people, some putting money in their pocket. We know that businesses are struggling, that, there's all sorts of men and women out there who have given their lives to their companies and their businesses and for no cause of their own, you know, the government is shutting them down and saying they're not essential. Well, what they're saying is they're not essential to the government. Whereas some of these other companies like the Walmarts and the Amazons and, you know, these other ones are able to grow like crazy.
Yeah.
But the ones that make our economy thrive, the small businesses are being overlooked. And that's really frustrating.
Yeah. That's really frustrating. It's incredibly difficult. And one of the reasons I started the podcast, and one of the reasons that you saw me, right? Cause this lady was like, I want to help women with small businesses. And I'm like, that's, you know, whatever you want to do. Like if that's great, good for you. And so then I ended up actually messaging her like five, because I've had a lot of them on my show, but my whole thing was like, yeah, dude, I want people to realize, that small businesses, that's the bedrock of America.
Totally.
Like if Amazon and Walmarts went away, we would still have small businesses.
Absolutely. You got the mom and pop shops. I go to my specific hairstylist, you know, all these people that are, you know, part of my life.
Yeah, dude. So. Yeah. And I tell people, but if you took small businesses away and left only Amazons and Walmarts, they wouldn't exist either. So you lose.
Who's going to cut my hair?
Yeah, you lose. So. Right. Dude, well, Mason, thank you so much for joining me, brother. Thank you for everything. I'll definitely put everything in the show notes. Yeah, man. I appreciate it. So keep doing big things, bro. Hey, good luck in your meeting.
Thank you too, Dalton. We'll see you.
Take it easy.